This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, October 9th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Milton comes for Florida. USDA makes another competition announcement, and EPA okays road project with phosphogypsum. Hurricane Milton headed for Florida. Category 5 Hurricane Milton set to make landfall in the Tampa and St. Petersburg area late today or early tomorrow. It will be the fourth hurricane to strike Florida's farming community in 14 months. USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and Farm Service Agency closed select Florida offices Monday with plans to tentatively reopen by noon Thursday or as local conditions allow, USDA said. The Florida Department of Transportation has suspended the size and weight restrictions for divisible loads on any vehicles transporting emergency supplies and agricultural food commodities, including citrus, sod, avocados, and tomatoes, among others. We understand that Florida's farmers have suffered significant loss, and many are still recovering from Hurricanes Idalia, Debbie, and most recently Hurricane Helene, the Florida Farm Bureau said in a statement to AgriPulse. Another hurricane will further compound the stressors our Florida farms face to produce the food and fiber that the nation depends on. A hurricane relief fund for agriculture was established to assist farmers and ranchers who have been impacted by the storms. Anyone can make a tax-deductible contribution to this fund to support Florida's farmers and ranchers. You can read more on Hurricanes Milton and Helene in today's newsletter, as well as stories on sustainable aviation fuel, renewable natural gas, the European Union's deforestation rule, and the dietary guidelines. AgriPulse has you covered with the latest ag and food news. USDA unveils fair competition efforts. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announced efforts to promote fair and competitive markets Tuesday, including an advance notice of proposed rulemaking under the Packers and Stockyards Act that seeks comments on possible interventions to set new benchmarks for alternative marketing agreement-based prices. The announcement was met with mixed reactions from the industry. Meat Institute President and CEO Julie Anna Potts called it an effort to, quote, assert government control over the free market to the detriment of cattle producers, packers, and consumers. In a statement, Potts said this effort signals a desire to end the use of AMAs. These arrangements reward producers who invest in their herd's genetics or raise cattle using some sustainable practices. AMAs offer producers the very benefits USDA says it wants to support: choice, flexibility, transparency, and yes, even higher prices, Potts said in the statement. And most importantly, AMAs provide consumers with more choices and a consistent supply of higher quality beef at stable prices. Farm Action President and co-founder Angela Huffman said in a statement that the vast majority of cattle sales are made through AMAs, which has thinned the cash market and left farmers and ranchers vulnerable to practices by dominant firms. Corporate power has infiltrated all sectors of our food and agriculture system, Huffman said. From the limited seed options that farmers have to choose from to the limited number of meat packers a cattle rancher or poultry grower can sell their products to, small, mid-size, and independent farmers and ranchers have little to no control over their economic viability. Now keep in mind, cattlemen have been enjoying record profits unlike their commodity grower brethren in recent months. Cash receipts for animals and animal products totaled $249.6 billion in calendar year 2023. Vilsack made his comments at a White House event focusing on farmers and ranchers. You can read more at AgriPulse.com. EPA okays test road containing phosphogypsum pending comment. EPA has approved a small-scale road project using phosphogypsum, a radioactive byproduct of phosphate ore processing, pending public comment. Major phosphate manufacturer Mosaic had requested permission to perform the project at its New Wales, Florida facility in Polk County. The company plans to build four sections of test road that have varying mixtures of phosphogypsum in the road base. In a Federal Register notice, EPA said the potential radiological risk of the pilot project meet current regulatory requirements. That is, the project is at least as protective of public health as maintaining the phosphogypsum in a stack. There are currently about 1 billion tons of phosphogypsum stacked in 24 stacks in Florida, and about 30 million new tons are generated each year. That according to the Florida Industrial and Phosphate Research Institute. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Antitrust expert. McDonald's lawsuit likely an opt-out from other class actions. By filing its own price-fixing lawsuit against the nation's four largest beef processors, fast food giant McDonald's is likely trying to split itself from the past class action lawsuits that have made similar allegations, according to University of Wisconsin law professor Pete Carstensen. The price-fixing claims made in McDonald's recent lawsuit against Tyson Foods, JBS, Cargill, and National Beef resemble allegations previously made in other lawsuits, including one filed by Quirch Foods and other food retailers last fall. I think McDonald's is an opt-out from the class of direct buyers and is seeking to pursue its claims separately, Carstensen told AgriPulse, and doing so, it seems to have added some of its foreign subsidiaries, which would not have been part of the original class action. Take note, for me, the most interesting aspect is that McDonald's is represented in this case by Cadwalder, which is a very large firm that usually does defense work, Christensen said. But here, they are being aggressive plaintiff counsel. Cattle dead, crops burned, and North Dakota fires. North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Gehring believes up to 13 different fires blazed across at least 50,000 acres in the western and central parts of the state since Saturday, killing two people and burning through farmsteads, fences, pastures, and cropland. While some have been extinguished, other fires continue to burn. Gehring reports seeing the carcasses of at least 50 dead livestock as he traveled across the impact zone. But since he only visited a portion of those 50,000 acres, that number could be far higher. He said calculating cattle losses also was difficult due to the large number of animals that went missing during the blaze. Everything was just black, he told AgriPulse, describing what he saw as he flew over some impacted rangeland. It looked like a moonscape because there's just nothing left there. Row crop fields were also hit, though some had been harvested before the fires. Gehring said it's hard to determine exactly what crops were hit based on first glances. You have no idea what was there because there's just nothing left, he said. Elizabeth Hassenwinkle, communications director for the North Dakota Stockmen's Association, said it was still too early to assess the extent of damage, but added, "We know the losses are significant and come in the form of lost pasture, stored feed, fences, outbuilding, farmsteads, livestock, and sadly, two human lives. Some fires are still burning and fire will be a risk until significant rain or snowfall," she added. Here's today's final word. They all took their own path. They had their own personality and did their own amount of damage. That North Dakota Ag Commissioner Doug Gehring on the fires scorching western and central North Dakota since Saturday. While 8 different fires have so far been confirmed, Gehring believes there may have been up to 13. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, October 9th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.